Next speaker will be Dr. Steven Steinberg, who will address the issue of an incorrect count in the operating room. Dr. Steinberg is chief of acute care surgery and critical care at The Ohio State University and the vice chair of surgery. Steve.
Thank you and good morning. I do not have any disclosures. So there are a couple things when I'm in the operating room that I really don't want to hear. First one being the anesthesiologist sticking his head or her head over the ether screen and saying, we're having a little bit of a problem up here. But that's closely followed by the nurse saying, doctor, the count is incorrect. So we've all been trained not to panic when we hear that first sentence. One of my conclusions for you all is don't panic when you hear the second, and we'll come back to why that is a little bit later. So we hear count's incorrect. What's the next step? Every institution's a little bit different. I know at our place we count everything, sponges, sharps, instruments. So the first thing is to find out what's incorrect. And do we have too many or too few of an item? And what specifically is wrong with the count? I mean, if it's the Buchwalter ring is missing, that's very unlikely to be in the patient's abdomen. But pretty much anything else on that back table could be. So the first step is to search the operative field. And in the case of abdominal surgery, that means searching the entire peritoneal cavity and pelvis. I can't tell you how many times that I've been told in my career that there's been an incorrect count. And looked around the operative site, if it's in the upper abdomen, can't find anything, and then lo and behold, there's some lap pad deep in the pelvis. So you really have to search the entire peritoneal cavity. Our group reported a multi-institutional trial that identified 59 retained surgical item events in just over 400,000 patients. With the goal of trying to identify what the correlates were to retained surgical items. So that's about one event in every 7,000 operations. Previous reports have been all over the place with rates of RSI between 0.3 and 1 per 1,000 abdominal operation and 1 in 8 to 10,000 all operations. We matched those 59 cases with similar patients undergoing similar operations who did not have an RSI, and we found, not surprisingly, that BMI and procedure duration correlated. We also found that unexpected operating room events, such as excessive blood loss or some intraoperative non-RSI-related complication or an equipment failure, was associated with a retained surgical item. And I would suggest that this probably represents the surgeon losing focus because of the other things that are happening that are unexpected. And then if there's any safety variation in the case, such as the sponge count bags not being used properly or lack of documentation of safety issues or any incorrect count or not sometimes not even performing counts, and I think that gets to the heart of not having a disciplined approach to this issue. So there's a number of options to try to reduce retained foreign objects in surgery. I think first and foremost is having a firm, clear policy and process. And then there's a number of adjuncts, including intraoperative X-ray, barcoding sponges, RFID tagging instruments and sponges. And just parenthetically, at our institution, we did look at various RFID systems that were available, and after looking at the efficacy and the cost, decided not to adopt them. But there have been a number of studies looking at these adjuncts. So at the University of North Carolina, they studied just over 2,000 consecutive patients. They reported one near miss that they believed that RFID technology would have helped with. The Mayo Clinic, in their patient cohort, they identified 34 retained surgical item events, two-thirds of which were sponges. Interestingly, their sponge count was correct in 21 out of the 34. And at that time, they were practicing selective imaging in patients who had incorrect counts. And of the 18 patients who were imaged, only 12 of them had the retained foreign object identified on the intraoperative X-ray. So that resulted in them changing their practice in that every patient undergoes a screening X-ray on their way to the recovery room after coming out of the operating room. And at least in this manuscript, they detected 20 patients with retained foreign objects, all of whom had had correct counts intraoperatively. So they felt strongly that this was the way to go. And then out of the Brigham and Women's Hospital, they sought to quantitate the cost of each of these adjuncts. So using routine X-rays in the way that the Mayo Clinic did, they estimated added about $1.1 to $1.4 million of cost for each prevented retained surgical item. That RFID was a little less expensive, but still added $720,000 per prevented RSI. Barcoding was the least expensive at $95,000 per prevented RSI, and it was efficacious at 97.5%. But is that really good enough? Because the Joint Commission has called this a never event. So our policy is basically to count everything. We count sharps, sponges, instruments, and anything else that makes it on the operative field. We have an initial count that's performed by both the OR tech and nurse, and then incremental and additional counts when new countable items are added, or the operating room team, whether it's surgeons or the staff change. And then there are two closure counts. Counts incorrect, all further work is halted if it's feasible until the item is the issue has been resolved. And then if the count still cannot be corrected, X-rays of the entire body cavity are taken. So what's our experience? In the last 3 years, we have averaged about 100 incorrect counts per year, with very few retained foreign bodies, really only one over about 35,000 cases. The hair on the back of my neck stands on end when I hear about hospital policies, but it really takes a good, strong, clear hospital policy to be effective. The surgeon leadership must stand behind it. The surgeon leadership must be accountable for it, and the surgeon leadership must hold others accountable. And I'll stop and not tell the story of Dr. Ellison and his leadership.
Thanks, Steve. Any questions from the audience? Find a retained foreign body 5 days after the operation. How do you approach the patient?
Well, there's nothing like honesty. Go talk to the patient, tell them that you've identified a retained foreign body. Most of the time, those will have to be removed, and tell the truth.
First microphone.
Yeah, Brent Yuzu out of David Grant out in California. Do you ever have, does it ever happen that all the count's not correct, but you do the X-ray, you don't find anything, and how comfortable are you leaving the operating room in those situations?
So the count's incorrect, and you can't resolve it?
Correct.
On a rare occasion. At least at our institution, we've not found any of those foreign bodies retained in the patient. I presume what's happened is that the item has been thrown out accidentally before it was counted. We have changed our process so that even if trash accumulates in the operating room, we do not remove the trash bags from the area until the end of the operation and the counts have been corrected, so we don't lose the opportunity to go through that trash bins again.
Quickly, Dr. Tarpley.
Dr. Diaz is here. What about the trauma patient that you're worried about acidosis, hypothermia, coagulopathy, and you're going to be doing a second look anyway? Do you have some exclusion criteria?
Yes, we do. I unfortunately did not have my triple espresso this morning, so I didn't get through the rest of my talk. But yes, it's always within the surgeon's purview to stop the process and do what's safe for the patient. So in those circumstances, I as a surgeon would say, no, we're not going to stay in the operating room while we take 17 X-rays. We'll go to the ICU and help correct those physiologic deficits. And at the earliest possible moment, then we will X-ray the operative field and make sure there's not a retained foreign object.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.